Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Derek Felix, here on this little special edition of Hard Hits. This is a special little edition I'm doing. It's a late night edition, Friday night here, Staten Island, New York City. It's obviously a little bit late night, so keeping it down, obviously, energy-wise. But just a flex edition here where I'm just going to interject just on a few things. Give you just some opinions on some things that are happening around the sports world. I'm going to start with Zach Greinke, actually. That's the one that obviously is on my mind. Zach Greinke signed with the Diamondbacks. So he doesn't wind up with the Giants. He doesn't wind up with the Dodgers. Well, everybody thought he would wind up with the Giants. I think at last check, their offer was 6 years for $195 million. In the end, Zach Greinke, he wanted just a little more dough, just like any free agent would, and decided to take the Diamondbacks offer of $205 million. It's $205 million, folks, over 6 years for a 32-year-old pitcher, a great pitcher, actually, you know. He is a quality pitcher. There's no doubt about it. Is Zach Greinke. That's just a lot of money. That's a lot of money to obviously wrap your head around. If you average, I think that averages to like $34 million. So he went to the highest bidder. And that's what free agency really is. You know, that's what it's about, really. Just about cashing in. You know, everybody knew he was going to opt out with the Dodgers and he was going to try to cash in. What basically was a Cy Young season. It was a Cy Young season. You know, I mean, Arrieta beat him out, but, I mean, it could have been either or. It could have been either side. So, I just think that it is what it is. I mean, these guys make so much money. These guys make so much money. And, it is what it is. He went for the money. If the Diamondbacks needed the pitching. He did the pitching.
He did it nice.
They don't really have any pitching. So, they went out and they went for the best guy. They gave him what he wanted. And, there really isn't much to say. What is there to say about it? It's funny. I just checked the Beast War Effort site, and there's nothing. It doesn't even list his contract yet. I think that's kind of funny. Because, I mean, the deal wasn't, you know, maybe they didn't have the press conference yet, but, you know, Fox Sports was the first to break it, I think, out in California. Were out in the West Coast, and they broke the story. I think it was around, I can remember coming across around 5, 6 o'clock. I remember seeing it around 6, 7 o'clock, and on the East Coast, that is. Am I surprised? Does anything really surprise you anymore when it comes to free agency? Not really. Obviously, this is just a show where I'm just going to talk. So, I don't even know why I decided to do one. I just felt like doing a little late night show, give you a little bit of feedback. He's a former Cy Young winner. To me, he's a two-time Cy Young winner. He could have split the award with Arrieta, so I'll give him two Cy Youngs. I'm giving him credit for two Cy Youngs. Because his season in 2015 was that great. So, I mean, everybody, you know, Arrieta, he won it with a remarkable second half where he just didn't allow any runs and just pitchers all year. So, this was a lot for Greinke. But now he's going to go and he's going to be the ace. Something that he did with the Royals for a little while, and then went to Milwaukee in that one year, in a couple of years when he was traded. And they got back the pieces early. Lorenzo Cain being the frontliner, and Escobar being another guy, and he turned that into a World Series, World Championship. Two straight World Series. Pretty damn impressive. But that tells you about Zach Greinke, too. Zach Greinke, you know, when he started out, he wasn't all that good. It took him a couple of years. But once he figured it out, And if you could get that money, then you do it. You do it. So, I mean, he got $10 million more from the Diamondbacks over the Giants. And God bless him. God bless him, man. I mean, it's enormous, obviously. Six years is not bad. He's going to be 32, you know, when he pitches again. Already, he turned 32, actually, already, October 21st. Actually, it's kind of ironic, because my brother, Justin, he was born, they're born in the same year, 83. Zach Greinke turned 32 on October 21st. Justin turned 32 on October 23rd, 2 years old, two days. He's 2 days older than my brother. That's pretty cool. I just think that's pretty cool. So, kudos. I wish him luck. I think he's going to need it. I mean, yeah, going from Dodgers to the Diamondbacks is, that's going to be tough. Obviously, they got one of the best hitters, one of the best players in baseball, and Paul Goldschmidt. So that's great. You know, they do have him, and did he finish like runner up or was he third? He's a great ball player. You know, they weren't a bad team per se in 2015, but they definitely lacked that ace. And it'll be interesting to see if they can make that leap up. You know, interestingly enough, their payroll for the entire season was $34.4 million. That was the lowest in baseball. Only the Rays. Actually, I just caught the Rays. The Rays were the lowest. Actually, 29.1. And the payroll was 34.4 for Arizona. Estimate was 61.1. You got to do what you have to do to compete. Arizona, they finished 4 games under 500, so they get themselves the pitcher, the guy that they think will be able to help them. And it's ironic because you had two teams that were under 500, one game apart, actually, overall, the standings. Arizona won 79 games. The Red Sox were last place in the East, 78 wins. And what do they do? They open the vault. They open the vault, and, just open the vault. The Red Sox went for David Price, which they were supposed to do, $217 million over 8 years, which is 8 years. Actually, I think it's seven. It's 7 years. 7 years at 217. That's what they gave them. 31. And the Diamondbacks, they need an ace. They decide to open the vault. They go 6 years and they go big. 6 years and 205. to get their eye, to get Greinke. This is what you see in baseball. Oh, it hasn't changed. But just like just back like in 1992, when the Mets and Yankees were signing, when the Mets were signing Bonilla and the Yankees were signing Tartable, they were getting a cool $25 million a year, and they were getting $5 million on average. And that was considered very high at that time. That was considered highest pay. Tough. But it shows you, like, how crazy the landscape is with, when it comes to contracts now and it comes to salaries. There is no, no, I guess, max. I mean, it's just going to get higher. I kind of like the Cubs move. The Cubs made a move. They signed John Lackey away from the Cardinals for 2 years. I think that was a good move. You know, Lackey's older, obviously. So it'll be interesting to see how he performs in Wrigley Field. And Cardinals is a better pitcher's park than Wrigley. Lackey's, what, 37? I think he's, like, he's almost my age, 36, 37 years old already. So, but, yeah, I mean, he's 37. I mean, actually, he shares a birthday with Justin. That's funny. So I mentioned Greinke was October 21, 1983. Lackey's October 23, 1978. So he's exactly 5 years older than my brother. So, but the Cubs signed him. Off a pretty good season. I mean, he had a real good season for the Cardinals. The 13 wins, the 2.77 ERA, ninth place finish in the Cy Young voting. He will give them innings. I think that's actually a good move because I don't think the Cubs could have opened the vault for another guy. As much as I know JPG really would love to have seen them team up Price with Lester and Aria, it just wasn't realistic for them to do that. They were going to have to make a trade or they were going to have to go a different route. So what they do, they went for a guy that's pitched in October before, and they got themselves John Lackey. Wow, I mean, you could have a top three of Arrieta, Lester, and Lackey. 1-3. That's pretty damn good, especially after you make the playoffs, you beat the Cardinals, and you go to the NLCS. I know they got dominated by the Mets. That's great. That's a no-brainer for them. I mean, we've seen pitchers now. You see with Bartolo Colon, there are pitchers that pitch into their late 30s and early 40s and can be effective. And Lackey seems like he might be one of those types. So that's great. Excellent. There's not much else to say. I mean, it's still early. They're having the baseball winter meetings. I think is it this weekend or is it in Nashville, I think. So I'm going to check the date on that. Is it this weekend or is it after this week? I'll see. Let's see what I can like, get some kind of confirmation on that. Felix hosting a late night, just a late night rambling edition. And I'm just talking about baseball free agency and obviously not a lot of deals, but already the two biggest pitchers on the market have landed. The next pitcher in line would be Cueto, who he already won a championship with the Royals, and that was great for him. Yeah, he was inconsistent, but now he will get his deal, and I'm curious to see what he does. So, will he? Maybe he'll decide. You know, he likes pitching for the Royals. Maybe he'll stay with the Royals. Why not? I mean, but then again, when it comes to free agents, they usually just go for the money. Of course, Cueto came over from the Reds in trade. He was inconsistent, but in the games where he pitched at home, he pitched well. So, I mean, he'll get a nice deal. And Cueto, when he's on, I mean, he could be lethal. It's just a question of if. All I already went on record telling JPG I think the Red Sox will win the AL East. The reason being, they need two enormous moves to really improve their ball clubs. When you can fill out, you can get an ace, a David Price, to bolster the top of your rotation. They did. It's costing compensatory draft picks because that's what it costs when you do sign guys away. But when you can do that and then you could go out and you could get Craig Kimbrell, as Dombrowski, who now runs the show over there, switched up the plan and sacrificed prospects, and they got themselves a top closer. They got themselves a top closer, top ace, and you combine that with talented young core of Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts, Jackie Bradley Jr., who if he hits will be their starting center fielder. And you got Pedroia at second, and I don't know what the plan is with Haley Ramirez. This Ortiz is last. This is final season, but that's going to make them a lot better. It's going to make them a lot better. So I would have to think they're going to be pretty tough. They're going to be pretty tough to beat. That's just my opinion. Of course, JPG laughed at me, thinks that I'm nuts. Will the Blue Jays still be good? They signed J.A. Happ. I thought that was an interesting move. So that was an interesting move for them, going for J.A. Happ. Giving him a 3-year contract and thought that's going to be their guy. it really largely depends. It depends on their younger pitchers. That's what it's going to depend on, really. It's going to depend on the other guys that are in that rotation. Dickey's old. He's old, though. I mean, but Dickey doesn't have to be a horse anymore. They think they have a guy. Yeah, they resigned. Estrada resigned. I thought that was a good move. Certainly you have to like what Marcus Stroman gave them. He's a former first round pick, and 24 years old, and on paper he's probably their best pitcher, probably their best starter. He's got the best makeup. So that's going to be interesting. I mean, that's a lot of pressure. How will he do? He's undersized, but, I mean, he's certainly a guy with capability. I'm curious to see how he does. How's he going to do? Their rotation is okay. I mean, but Stroman has to... We'll see how he could do over a full season. He's young. Estrada, Dickey, Burley, of course, Burley retired. Drew Hutchinson coming back. They have a good young closer in Osuna. I like him. Aaron Sanchez, are they going to keep him in the bullpen or are they going to move him back to the rotation? It's a good question. They have the hitters. I'm not sure about their pitchers. I'm not sure about the pitching. J. Happ, of course, is going to take the place while their pitching be good enough. I don't know. They hit. I think they're going to have to outflug teams. That's what I told JPG. Because I think when they got David Price, it really took a lot of pressure off the other guys, and they were able to perform a lot better. That's something that we'll keep an eye on. But it's winter meetings, and winter meetings coming up, and that's going to be pretty exciting. So the winter meetings always fun. I wish I did work, and I wish I did cover it because it really is exciting. Obviously, a quiet offseason so far for the Mets and for the Yankees. Yankees are just going to bide their time. The Mets, you know, they're having their talks. Daniel Murphy probably going to leave, and he's probably going to be replaced by a guy that I've always been a fan of. I mean, just in terms of, you know, the capability and guy that's just a professional player. I mean, that's you saw it. We saw it with Ben Zobrist with the Royals when the Royals made the trade. Came up with so many key hits for the Royals, and if that's the plan, you know, Mets side, all right, we're going to go from Daniel Murphy to Zobrist, who's better fielding second baseman, just as professional, a little older player, but, you know, they decide to give him the 3 or 4 years. I like that move. I like that move a lot, actually. I like it better. I think it's a much better option than going with an unproven prospect at second base that hasn't even proven he can hit there. I'm sure Murphy will get his. He'll get between 48 to 60 million, 48 to 50 million. Somebody will give it to him. Off what he did, and the Mets do need to improve a little bit in their bullpen. So that'll be interesting to see if they actually do something in that terms of that area. I didn't think I was going to talk a lot of baseball, but I have. I've talked more baseball than I thought I would, just because I like the off-season. I do. I really do. I enjoy the off-season, and it's exciting. It's exciting. It really is exciting. I'm excited for it. And Ultimate Team Meetings are actually coming up right around my birthday, actually. So that's a great birthday present. I'm going to say it's on December 8th on Tuesday. The winter meetings start Monday, December 7th, from the 7th to the 10th. That is your winter meetings over in Nashville, Music City. And you got your Rule 5 draft on December 10th. Then you got your Hall of Fame until the beginning of January. Not going to talk about that right now. It's too early. But we've already seen some big names move already. Greinke, obviously, went to Arizona. Price was right for the Red Sox in Boston. Jordan Zimmermann also got a 5-year contract with the Tigers, over $100 million. It's in line with what guys like him get. I'm not in love with signing him for 5 years. I don't think that's such a great move, but that's where the Tigers are right now. That's where they're at. Johnny Cueto is the next big name. Jason Hayward, big outfield free agent, a guy who's a Gold Glove outfielder who can help a team play for the Cardinals this year. Any other moves here? That's right. DNR Rivero now on the White Sox, so he's going to go and catch for them. Nothing too major, really. There were a couple of trades that I did see. Just a couple of swaps. Mark Trumbull going from Seattle to Baltimore. And Yonder Alonso, first baseman. It's a little bit of pop in his bat. The Oakland Athletics make a trade. I like this move for the Padres, actually. I think Drew Pomeranz was a good move for the Padres. I like that a lot, actually. Chris Young actually also moves from the Yankees to the Red Sox. So he goes from being a backup outfielder, a guy who could hit against lefties. The Yankees will hopefully do that for the Red Sox in that way. So that's pretty much it at this time. That's it for baseball. This show's only 30 minutes long. Basketball, there was, you know, you had the Battle of New York. It wasn't a battle. The Knicks went by 30 points in the first half against the Nets. And the first game between the Knicks and the Nets, they played 4 times during the season. The Knicks was not until January. But you know, Porzingis continues to be the story of the basketball season. He's great. He really is. I love him. I mean, they interview him on ESPN, they interview Fred Seltzer, interviews him, and he's so perfect. And just the way he talks, and just, I don't know, he's just so poised. That's funny. Yeah, I remember, like, Sahor, he was rooting so hard for the Knicks to lose those last final two games, and they didn't. And I laughed at it, and it's like, oh, well, it's going to cost them the number one pick, and Carl Anthony Towns, and he wound up with the Wolves. Carl Towns is a great player. He's going to be a great player. The fourth slot. The Lakers wound up taking Russell. Everybody, I knew that was going to happen. And then Okafor went to the Sixers, and he's actually had some off-the-court problems, even though he's going to be a big scorer. And the Knicks wound up taking Porzingis, and look how it turned out. Look at the upside with this guy. Oh, man, I mean, it's just dreamy. I mean, he doesn't, like, force shots. He plays within the team spectrum. He gets double-doubles. He can shoot the three. He runs the court. He can defend. He blocks shots. Wow, I mean, how did we get so, finally, Knicks fan, I mean, we get a guy like that. How did that happen? It's just mind-blowing to me. And the Knicks, Phil Jackson, everybody killed him for year one. But then he goes, he traded, and I love the move when it was made, trading Tim Hardaway Jr., a chucker, just a board chucker, was not even playing for the Hawks. And he wound up getting Jerry and Grant, who will eventually be a starting point guard. He'll be the starter eventually. Look, Calderon put up 10 assists last night. I guess they came against the Nets, but still, 1 point, 10 assists, man. 10 assists, only two shots. That's pretty damn good. You know, I'll give Calderon credit. He's actually bounced back. But you have Jerry and Grant. Well, I like him a lot. Langston Galloway with a little bit of a John Starks, a little bit of a mini John Starks. And Flowell is playing and playing well since he's finally healthy. Robin Lopez fitting in. Melo had a good game last night. 28 on 9 of 18 shooting, 5 threes. And the Knicks have a bench with Thomas, Derek Williams, Kevin Sarafin. It's just a much better team right now than the Nets. Dirk Lopez had a good game with the 21, but the Nets didn't get anything out of Jarrett Jack. And Jarrett Jack's had a great year, but it was just a blowout. It was a blowout. So, but you have to like how things are going. You really do. 10-10, in the mix. If they learn how to put away some of the other teams, because they've had a little bit of trouble in some of these games at home, they figure out how to play a little better at home and figure out what it's going to take, they can make the playoffs. They can make the playoffs. How excited would that be? All right, so I was pretty much out and pretty much done. There is a hotline call. I don't know why anybody would be calling with Sean. 2:58 in the morning, but I'll take the call real quick. All right, hotline call. You're on the line.
Is this your call of the night?
This would be my one call, I guess, yeah.
Oh, I am not from Charlotte, but I will take that as a compliment. Wink, wink.
Okay. All right. So you're not from Charlotte.
No, I have no idea why I said it. I'm from Cleveland, which is even worse. I'm a Browns fan, so it's like the worst thing you could possibly be.
You know, I'm not even going to say anything bad about that. I don't know. I mean,
there's nothing worse you can say about being a Browns fan. There's literally no sports team. Trust me, I dug through the archives. There's nothing worse. Mm-hmm. I thought being a Raiders fan would be bad. Huh?
How far back do you go with the Browns?
Wait, what?
How far back do you go with Cleveland sports?
Oh, I was born in 1980, so okay. I was instilled early in my life. So I grew up in the Bernie Kosar time, so like early 80s. So for the first like couple of years, it was like, hey, it's not too bad being a Browns fan. And then for like the last like 30 years, it's like, oh, this is like horrible. Being a Browns fan.
You know,
I can't be the guy who likes, like, oh, I'm going to switch to another team. I can't do that.
No, don't do that. You know what?
No, I'm going to stick with it just because when it happens, you know.
No, what I was going to say if you're a diehard fan, you got to stick with your team. I'm from New York, so I'm a Giants guy, so I've been pretty lucky. I'm a Giants fan. So I'm very
God
lucky.
Damn it. Screw you, Giants fan. Oh, really? With the lucky catch, the Tyree catch. Come on. Lucky duck right there. I'm jealous.
Miraculous.
Trust me, I'm jealous.
Miraculous. Let's just say it like it is. It was miraculous. It was a miraculous play.
It was a great play, but, I mean, Eli Manning's a great player, so.
I appreciate that. I get into arguments all the time with my friends about Eli. And,
no, he's a good, you know, he's a,
I mean, Bernie Kosar was pretty good.
He was okay. He was decent. That's the problem. Was he was decent. He was a decent quarterback, but he was really smart. He had no mobility and had a sidearm throw. So
they had some bad luck in those games. I mean, they had the Broncos beat and then by their fumble.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah,
they
should have won about three, four more games this year. But I'm happy they lost because there's no reason they should have won because you have no franchise quarterback. You have a franchise quarterback. Eli Manning's your dude, and then Beckham is amazing.
Hope.
My God, dude. That's who the Browns should have drafted.
Yeah, but
Manziel, he's too small. He's a little small. He's a little small, dude. He's like,
you know what? He's just stupid. He's stupid. I mean,
he can't
grow up.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, honestly, like, I mean, being honest, like me or you, if we were a quarterback with an opportunity like he did, we'd probably do the same thing. Like, really? Chicks are all over us? Of course. Of course we're going to do it. We're little small guys. We're not going to live in this league that long. Manziel's going to get crushed. Let me just say one thing. If he was a great dude, like he'd love God, and he was like, nope, I'm going to be a football player. That's great, but he's going to get crushed. He's a little small guy. I'm a small guy. I'm going to get crushed by an NFL player. You know, same thing. That's what's going to happen.
I watched Russell Wilson. He's not a big guy. He doesn't have a line anymore. And I don't know. I just watch him. I'm just amazed at what he's able to do. He basically just runs for his life. Gets out of the pocket and just makes unbelievable plays with the ball. He's got so much points.
He's a good player. He's definitely a good player. He's built a little bit different than Johnny, though. Like, Johnny, like, he has more weight than Russell somehow. I have no idea how. But he's a little skinny. He's got a little skinny frame. Russell doesn't take – like, Russell's smart, though, when he runs. Like, he, like, avoids big hits. Johnny's just like, whatever. I'll take one hit. I'm like, dude, you can't take one hit because you're a little small guy. You can't do that. Just like Josh McCown. I mean, Josh McCown played pretty well for the Browns this year. Not that bad.
He actually has played okay.
I was actually pleasantly surprised by him. Not too bad. But he got his ass kicked constantly because he's just like, I'm going to take a hit. You can't. I mean, I'm disappointed in the Browns. I'm disappointed in the Giants because I had a vesting interest because I play fantasy. So I was like, I thought Rashad Jennings would have a good year, but apparently they want to run like four different running backs every week.
They don't block. They don't know how to block for any of their backs.
Is it the offensive line's fault? Is that the deal? Like, I don't really file.
It's the offensive line. They just don't do a good job blocking, and the Giants don't stick with it. They're not consistent with the running game, and it's really frustrating.
That's my problem. It's like I'll see Rashad Jennings in there, but then I'll see Andre Williams or the Darkwad dude or Vereen. I'm like, dude, wow, like. How's Jennings going to get in like a mode or like a rhythm if you're just putting him in there for two carries and then taking him out for 20 minutes?
It's not going to work. It's just not consistent enough. And I mean, Vereen's really more of just a guy. He's not a guy that you're going to run. He's a guy that
right.
can just roll out of the backfield, and they haven't really utilized him enough. And I mean, as a Giants fan, when I think about their season, and I think about all the missed opportunities. It is what it is. It is what it is. They basically do or die against the Jets this week in the Battle of New York.
So yeah. I mean, the Giants are taking that division, though, right? I mean, I have not looked at the.
You know what?
I mean,
they needed to beat the Redskins last week. The Redskins have the same record, but the Redskins have the edge in the division record. They got a better conference record.
Which is so sad. The Redskins are so fucking bad, man. Like, they're a horrible team. It's Cousins. It's Cousins handing off to Alfred Morris, who I also have on my fantasy team, who sucks.
I like Alfred Morris. Yeah.
I loved him. I loved him for a couple of years until this year where they're like, nope, we have no idea how he can score a touchdown. He has no touchdowns this year. That's hard for a running back to do.
They've been throwing it more, and they just went on hold. They went on hold for some reason. Cousins just got at home. I don't know. They won all their games at home. That's really odd.
Right. Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at your franchise right now. You know,
it's horrible. It's by far the worst in the league. It makes me sad because I'm a diehard fan, and I'm like, I'm trying to look at it and be like, no, we're gonna be okay. No, we're not. There's
like,
literally
I'm
nothing
dying.
To hang your head on. You have Joe Thomas, who,
right now, I'm dying for you because
I would love to see it too. Trust me, Derek. I would dive. I'd do backflips for. I mean, but you have the upper hand because you have a franchise quarterback. Even though it's, you know, I'm not sure. I mean,
yeah.
Eli will probably go for Eli will go for another 4 or 5 years. So you're set there.
Yeah,
that's all you need. You can have a decent team with a franchise quarterback and be set. The Browns don't have that. That's the big difference. So until they find that, I have no idea. Plus, you have a good coach, but I think he's going to be leaving. I don't think Collins is going to stick around.
Who is Colton right now for the Browns? Who is your coach again?
Head coach, Mike Patton.
Okay.
Right now it's Mike Patton. He's a terrible coach. Horrible. He looks like Stone Cold Steve Austin, but he's terrible. He was a good defensive coordinator for Rex Ryan, but he's a horrible head coach.
Yeah.
But Coughlin's great. I think Coughlin's probably going to leave after this year, but it doesn't really matter. You guys have a good foundation.
Well,
like
the thing about the Giants, too, their management, like if they continue to keep missing the playoffs, you know, the ownership doesn't like that too much. And one of the owners, Pitts, actually said, you know, these 5 games are huge. And, you know, they're like, you know, we're playing for jobs right now. Our guy's playing for jobs right now. So you have to have an owner. You have to have an owner that cares. You have to have some ownership that cares, that's passionate about it, that wants
something
turned around.
Who's
the
Giants
owner? Say to you. That's Mara. That would be John Mara and Tiff. You know, they basically split it up.
Are they good owners?
They are. Oh, they are. They definitely really, really are. They care. They care a lot. I mean, a great deal. And I don't know what's going to happen.
That's the most important thing. If I think we have an owner that cares, but he has no idea, like, who to talk to like, oh, we should, like, hire this person. Like, he doesn't have no idea how to, like, bring the right football people in. Like, who's your GM? Do you know your GM off the top of your head?
Reese? Yeah, Jerry Reese.
Not a bit. A solid GM. Ours is fucking garbage. Ray Farmer is horrible. I mean, Reese isn't the best, don't get me wrong, but it's way better than Farmer. Farmer's garbage. Complete garbage. You can't draft Manziel over. Huh?
How long has he been there for? As a GM? Been there for a while? Yeah.
He's been here for 2 years, and he's had two fucking terrible drafts. Two horrible drafts. I mean, you take Johnny Manziel, which. I mean, then Cameron Irving and Danny Shelton and Justin Gilbert was the worst one. Dude can't even get on the football field because he's an idiot. But the Giants don't do a bad job of drafting. They do decent. Not the best, but, I mean,
they got to do
solid.
A better job
I mean,
with the defense. defense, you know, that's the problem. Defense.
Yeah, no, that defense, God, man, they're giving up some points. They need to work that out.
I think Reese does a good job, you know, in terms of what he adds offensively. You look at Beckham. Beckham's all world. Beckham's amazing to watch. And they'll do a good job.
You guys got lucky with that dude, man. That dude is amazing. Beckham is so good. But, you know, Manning and
once
is Victor Cruz healthy at all? Is Victor Cruz ever coming back, or is he just
because
I heard he was okay, but then,
because
if you can add him back in the mix, man, yeah, figured. But
he's out for the year, and I don't know. I have no idea if we're going to see Cruz again in a Giants uniform, just because. They have the development of some of their other guys, most notably the special teams guy. They got Harris from the Cowboys. He's pretty good. Made some key catches. And Ruben Randall's inconsistent. You know, if Ruben Randall was more consistent, that would help a lot.
I like Randall. Like, Randall is, like, I think he's a talented player, but he doesn't, like, show it enough. Like, he has moments where, like, oh, damn, there he is. There's Ruben Randall. Then most of the time he's just like, nope, not going to do anything. Sorry.
He just doesn't, he's not consistent in terms of the roots. Sometimes but he'll have some big drops.
Exactly.
He'll have good moments and he'll have bad moments. You know, if there was more consistency, well, then, you know, you'd have, I think it would be a lot better for the Giants from that standpoint. They brought back Hakeem Nicks. He's basically at the end. I mean, of course, I root for Hakeem Nicks after his failure, but I wish they had a running game. I really wish that they could run the football, but they can't.
It means to me that they can't. They have. I mean, their offensive line isn't that bad. Rashad Jennings is now. He's a good back. Rashad Jennings is fine. Vereen can be. I mean, Vereen's more of a pass catcher out of the backfield, but you know, Andre Williams is more of like a kind of like up the middle short. But there's enough there where you can run the fucking football. It's not that hard. Just run the football. Like the Browns have a hard time running the football.
It
kind of amazes me because, you know, you have to worry about Eli. You know, Eli's a good quarterback, so, okay, we have to worry about him and, you know, Beckham. So we have to, you know, acknowledge the fact that there's a passing game here. So it's great. So real quick, before I let you go, are you a baseball fan at all?
Oh, I'm a huge baseball fan. I was just talking about Zach Greinke and the contract he got. I was talking about the free agency and just,
you're a baseball great, because I'm actually a bigger baseball fan than I am. Mostly AL only, because that's all I do for fantasy wise. But so if you follow baseball, are you a Yankees or are you a Mets fan?
I'm a Yankees guy. I've been a Yankees guy since Donnie Baseball. Donnie Baseball is my favorite ball player,
and I love baseball too. So what do you think about the Yankees this year?
That's a tough question. I don't think you're going to see a lot in terms of the offseason, because they're not trying to do that. They're not trying to spend as much money. I'm still curious to see what they do with the second base situation, if they're going to give Rev Snyder the opportunity to see what he can do at second base, or if they're going to go and do something else. You know, that's something I have to see. And what are they going to do with Craig Burke? You know, they have to come back for the last year.
I was curious about Snyder. I didn't think they were going to give him a shot right off the bat, but maybe they will. I'd be amazed, because it's the Yankees. Like, I can't imagine the Yankees just like, no, let's just see this dude, like, play it out. Like, I can't. But I have no idea, because the fucking Bo Sox are going to throw $200-plus million at David Price at the same time, so.
I knew that was coming, actually. Because it was.
I figured they're going to throw a lot of starting pitching, but they're still not going to do anything. They're not good enough to. They're okay.
Don't be
they're good. They're a good team.
Don't be surprised.
In the division,
They got Mookie Betts, who's going to be a star. They have Bogarts, who can hit. They got a good middle infield. I mean, Pretoria, he doesn't always stay on the field.
No, I mean, I'm not going to, diss them. They got a good team. I don't, outside of David Price, though, I don't like their starting pitching at all.
Okay.
If Buckholz is healthy for 10 starts, then that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Then the rest of them are just kind of guys. But
they need more from some of those guys.
The Severino dude that came up for you guys is awesome.
I like him a lot.
God, that dude's a beast right there. That's
what the hell?
I have no idea what's going to happen with CC or anything like that, but like that guy is. I almost picked him up in my fantasy. Like I'm like, nah, he's cool. He'll just like start for a game or two, and he's kept on starting. I'm like, fuck, I really missed the boat on that guy because he's good, man. He's a real deal.
Yeah,
and if Pineda actually can stay healthy, man, he's good too.
The problem with him is the consistency. You just don't know what you're going to get from outing to outing. I mean, the stuff is plus stuff. He's got plus stuff. It's just, it's not consistency.
Right.
I mean,
but I'm looking at that division, and outside of the Bo Sox, I mean, Toronto's going to, even though I have Shapiro running the team, I mean, I'm not really worried about Toronto. They can score a lot of runs, but their pitching is still crap.
Well, it's going to depend. It's going to depend on some of the other guys now. I mean, they did sign J.A. Happ, but it's going to depend on the other guys. Estrada,
which is hilarious. They signed him. He's garbage. He's garbage.
Stroman and Estrada are those two keys. The two keys are Stroman and Estrada and Dickey. That's their top three. They need those guys.
I like Stroman. Stroman's the real deal. Stroman's good.
I like him too.
Everybody else in that rotation, like Dickey, really? Just get a good weather situation, you're going to knock the shit out of that ball. Not worried about Dickey. See, the Yankees are going to be flying high. I mean, if all they have to do is worry about the Bo Sox. Toronto's going to score runs because they have good dudes who can hit. Their pitching is shit. Complete shit. I mean, you sign R.A. Dickey, really? I hate Dickey. Not Dickey, Happ. J. Happ. But their pitching isn't good enough.
See, I'm with you. I think they're going to take a step back. I think they're going to have outslug teams. That's kind of how I feel about it. And they certainly have the hitters. So, I mean, they'll be fun to watch because they can rake.
Right.
I'm curious to see what the Orioles do. Are they just going to let Chris Davis, I guess, leave? And who's going to sign him? Because that's a guy who gets 45, 46 home runs.
See, they just did that deal to get Mark Trumbo. So once they traded for Mark Trumbo, then I felt that there was no way they were signing Chris Davis. That was kind of like a replacement for Davis. And Trumbo,
and he's
for
not
what
really
they gave up
he's
for.
Not a replacement. He's not a replacement for Davis.
No, he's not going to do what Trumbo. He's not going to do what Davis did. But I mean, what they gave up for him, they gave up fucking Steve Clessinger. Guy?
I mean,
no, nobody does. He's a dude who just catches the ball sometimes. And some, like, minor league guy.
Antelos is not a good owner. He just isn't. I mean,
he's horrible. He's Baltimore's Oriole. Yeah, it's the worst ownership in probably baseball, but...
It's terrible. Yeah. I mean, they never re-sign any of their guys. I just don't understand. I mean, do you want to compete? Or you win one division one year, and that's it. And then you're just going to – I mean, and their pitchers are not good enough either. They have a couple of young guys.
I like Gausman a lot, Kevin Gausman, because I had him last year for my fantasy, and he has a talent. But everybody else, like Chris Tillman, one's scared of Chris Tillman. And Chen, they're going to lose Chen's.
That's right.
Because I know
else.
Mike Pelfrey got a 2-year, $18 million deal with Detroit. If he got that, then freaking Chen's going to get astronomical. I have no idea why Detroit was like, hey, Mike Pelfrey, you're horrible for years. How about you come over here and be horrible for 2 years? And he's like, yes, let's do it.
Well,
apparently, Scott Boras is a agents, so that works out perfectly.
If you put it in perspective, though, I mean, the Nationals signed Oliver Perez for 2 years. Why? Well, I mean, that's
but it's a relief pitcher, man. It's a relief pitcher. You can sign a dude. Darren O'Day, who's a good pitcher, don't get me wrong, for the Orioles.
Solid.
He was great.
Yeah.
Not bad,
he's
but, like, there's, like, a feeding frenzy of people trying to get him. I'm like, he's good, but, man, I'd rather just take a shot on guys for, like, the Indians, like, picked up Chamberlain, you know, Jabba Chamberlain, hey, let's see what happens. I'd rather do that than throw huge money at Darren O'Day. This whole free agency period is, like, throw me off base completely because, like I said,
it's
if you're going
to
give 2 years.
It's hard to keep up. It's hard to keep up with everything.
Yeah.
You know, I'm rooting for Jabba.
See, the Yankees can spend money, though. Like, you guys can spend money, though, man. We can't. Like, I'm an Indians fan. We can't spend money. We're, like, waiting for, like, we signed Colin Cowgill. Actually, we didn't sign him. We, like, traded or did something. We got him. We have him on our fucking team.
Yeah, I saw
him. Yeah, it was horrible. Yeah, it was nasty. Like, we have him on the team. Like, fuck, what are we going to do with him?
I like your roster, though. I mean, you have some pieces there on your roster. You got a couple
That's why
of guys
like, I don't want them to trade the pitching. If they keep the pitching with Kluber and Carrasco and Salazar, and hopefully Bauer figures out how to be a pitcher.
Instead of just being a thrower because he's so consistent.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because you have to pitch more than four innings. You know, we have a chance. Like our pitching and bullpen could be possibly really good. The hitting, I have no idea. We can't score a run. That's our big deal.
They have some. There's some potential there. I mean, well, Lindor was in the top three in the rookie, and Brantley.
Yeah,
Lindor
was. Yeah, unfortunately, he decided to get surgery really late, so I'm not really sure how.
After they had him lead off, horrific. I look at that division, and I think, well. Maybe the Indians or Twins, one of those two teams could maybe challenge. Those are the two teams I look at. They're teams that are on the rise.
Yeah, definitely.
What's your name, by the way?
Casey.
Casey. Derek.
Casey. Derek,
that's,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look. Okay. On your main page, there's like four people. Are you, like, the guy in the middle?
I have to go and decipher that.
There's, like, a guy
that's right. That's my family. Yeah, I'm the one with the Russian jersey. That's
okay, you're the jersey guy?
Jersey.
Okay, that's you right there. Yeah. That's Derek?
That's,
all right. Cool.
That's an offensive jersey. Yeah.
That's a what? Oh, okay. Are you a hockey guy, too?
I'm a big hockey guy.
I've tried hockey. I can't get into hockey.
That's okay. I mean, you are out in Cleveland,
Right. We get a little bit because of like Columbus. Like I went out to Columbus twice, like, hey, you want to? But like it was. Mm-hmm. I think you have to grow up in it to actually like really understand it. Or is that your whole family in that picture, or is it just like?
No, that's me. That's my brother, Justin, and my dad. And the guy on the left, the short guy, that's
Eric
Flurry. Yeah, that's
Eric Flurry.
Oh, shit.
Flurry. Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's Flurry. Okay, cool. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Say, I know enough about hockey, you know, like that. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, you got it. If you have any, he was doing a book signing. He wrote a book about his struggles. Like abuse and just about. It's pretty damn good reading. That's all I'm gonna say. It's good reading.
Oh really?
Because I mean, it really explains why his life kind of fell apart, and just all the shit that he went through. It's really good. I mean, unbelievable.
Really?
And a really nice.
Wow.
And a really nice guy too. I'm just thank God that he's still alive, and thank God that fixed his life. That's what I say.
Was it that bad for him for a bit? Or? I had no idea that it was actually.
Well.
Oh, really?
He was basically, he and like other hockey players and juniors, they were sexually abused or sexually molested by their coach. So that's as bad.
By their what?
Their coach molested them.
Oh, really?
Junior coach. Their junior hockey coach. Yeah. Yeah.
Damn, man. That's deep. Jesus.
Yeah. So basically, it drove Fleury to drink and to become basically, well, he became an addicted, substance abuse, and just.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically,
I mean,
basically wrecked his career. And, man, I don't even know, I remember reading that book. And there are, like, parts in the book, and I'm just like, wow, how did you even survive that, all that stuff that you did?
Right.
I don't know. There's stuff in there that's just, like, I just don't, and I haven't read this book in a long time, but, like, this stuff, like, about where he's, like, the 1 year he spent in Chicago with the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
And he goes to, like, just, like, the worst neighborhood or whatever. Goes to the worst neighborhood because he needs his fix, whatever it is, crack or whatever it is. And he's hanging out with just, like, total garbage. And I'm just thinking to myself, how could this, like, this is a guy who makes millions of dollars, and that's what he was reduced to.
You'd be amazed, dude. Like, yeah, it's weird how that shit works, man.
Oh, man, it's like I thank God that I never, like did that stuff, or, you know, that I never, or, you know, my family, you know, I just thank God, you know, for just,
right.
I don't know. I mean, it's just, you've always lived in you're always from Cleveland area, or, pretty much?
Oh, yeah, no, I've lived in the Cleveland area for... Mm-hmm. Yeah, my whole fucking life, man. So I'm 30. I'm almost 36 right now, but I'm 35 right now. I'll be 36 in February. But yeah, I lived in I grew up in Cleveland, and I moved to North Central. Yeah, I've been living in Cleveland area my whole life. So you've been in New York your whole life,
except for maybe a year and a half where I spent in Connecticut.
What was going on in Connecticut?
If I told you that I worked for ESPN for a little while, would you be surprised?
did you? That's cool, man.
Yeah.
What did you do there?
I got lucky. What I did basically
real lucky,
was,
man. That's fucking hard to get into, dude.
Sometimes you just have to have the right connections, and, you know, maybe over a decade ago I did, you know. I was a hockey researcher, sports researcher. I did, like, statistics and just, like, stuff that basically – stats researchers, you know, they work behind the scenes. So, like, sometimes you'll see, like, graphics, you know, a lot of graphics are referenced on sports, whether it's SportsCenter or, you know, like, during games. Well, the researchers are the ones who are doing the work on those. You know, they're the ones that are providing
the
information.
The people who actually are announcing are getting all the glory for
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah,
right.
That's basically what it is. So I did that for a year and a half, and that was fun. It was all fun. I mean,
so what happened after the year and a half, though? Do you decide, like,
Well, I was trying to get full time up there. I interviewed for a full time gig. I just didn't get it, and there was stuff kind of got sidetracked. There was stuff going on at home that I needed to come home for, so it was more important. So it's just the way it's
understandable.
But you know what? The experience.
Dude, man, you fucking work for ESPN, man. No one can ever take that away from you, man.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Man, it was a great experience. It's like.
Did you meet all the guys? Did you meet the main people?
I met a few of them. Yeah, I met a few of them. I remember seeing Stuart Scott around a couple of times. God bless him.
That really sucks. He passed away, man. He was I grew up on Stuart Scott.
Yeah.
So when he passed away, I'm like, holy! I had no idea he had cancer. Like, that
you know
sucked,
what?
Man.
I didn't. You know what? I knew he had it the first time, I didn't realize that he got it the second time, and just hearing that he died last year, that just killed me. It killed me. It
yeah.
really killed me. Knowing that, it killed me. Yeah.
See, I can't remember.
Having,
I can't remember. Actually. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's okay. No, you're fine. All right.
Oh no. There was a time that they actually put him on TV, and when I saw him, I'm like, because it was like high definition, so I saw him and I'm like, man, he looks really weird today. But I had no idea. And then about a couple weeks later, like I finally had cancer. I'm like, holy shit, that's crazy. He seemed like a good dude. He had a family and shit. And like, I felt bad, man. And like I said, when I was thinking of ESPN, he was one of the dudes I grew up on. So it was like surreal to see, someone you look up to because like when I first went to college, I thought I wanted to be, doing radio and stuff like that. So I worked for a local radio station and stuff. And so, Stuart Scott was kind of like an inspiration, so to speak.
Yeah, you got the voice for it. Yeah.
Which is perfect because you don't need.
Not everybody has the voice, though. Some people.
No, you got the good voice too. I haven't heard your complete show, so I'm not sure what you bring completely. But trust me, I'm gonna check out your show completely next time you have a show.
That. I mean,
yeah,
this is this show I just decided to do to ramble on a couple of things, about the free agency and just a couple of different things. And then you called in and we talked about Cleveland sports and we talked about just a lot of different stuff. So it was pretty good. Good.
That's
cool. Definitely added
a lot.
So
you're not doing another show after this? What's your deal?
I gotta get some sleep. I gotta get up early to work.
I wasn't saying like what you're doing later. Like, I meant like with the show wise.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I mean we usually do shows on the weekend. So maybe we'll do something later tonight and try to do some NFL picks for a couple of my co-hosts. So we'll usually do that and we'll try to maybe do some NFL stuff. We always do that and we'll discuss. And then we'll get into our usual heated debate. I have a lot of interesting debates with some of my buddies. Just on certain things, certain issues. But these are the issues that... It's more fun. It's really fun. It's not, you don't have to take it seriously, not
right.
to be taken
Which is
seriously.
How you should do it, not take it so damn seriously.
Yeah. It's kind of what we do. It's just a back and forth kind of shot.
Yeah. No, that's what me and my buddy, we did a show for probably about 2 weeks, and then we got a bunch of shitty calls, so we decided not to do it anymore. But I give you fucking credit, man, to keep rocking with it, man. And you already have sweet experience and with the ESPN thing, but you said you had the family thing to go to, and that's completely understandable. I've had the same thing happen to me, so. But yeah, man, how old are you? You look like a young dude.
You wouldn't think so, right? You wouldn't think so, right? I'm 38. I got a birthday coming up on Tuesday. I'll be
You're 38? No, fuck
yeah.
You, 38. You look like a little young kid, man.
Well, that,
you
that, that,
with
picture,
the jersey?
That picture was taken, that's got to be
what,
around 2009.
Fucking 20 years ago?
No, it was 2009.
Oh.
Well, it's not that old.
Yeah.
Hold on.
All right, you...
Yeah. You still there?
Yep.
Okay. From New York actually. But I have friends in Jersey. That's the irony of it. You go out to
I'm
Jersey,
just amazed by the borders in the background because borders coffee was like amazing over here, and then they closed all of them down.
And then they closed everything down.
You said closed down New York too?
Yes. they closed down.
Is
New
it?
York,
which is weird because like it seemed like people loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. I fucking read like 17. I literally read like 6 books, like front to back, at Borders.
The thing that bums me out is that like it keeps shutting down like the really good places. It's just aggravating.
Right, yeah, places you would go to and like fuck, yeah. Like where now?
Yeah, I mean they shut down everything, like they shut down all the path parks. So like there's no more path parks. I don't know if you're through a path park, but you know. But I don't know. It just seems like it's getting worse instead of better in terms of just like
right.
All the changes.
And I hear you.
No,
I hear you, dude.
It sucks. It sucks, to be honest.
Yep.
I mean, like, you just gotta, like, try to just appreciate each day or whatever you have. And hope that there's still things that you can hang on to that are gonna just disappear off the face. That's what I would say. You know, just in general.
That's a fucking good-ass quote, dude. I'll take that with me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all right, but I gotta get some sleep.
Yeah, do what you need to do. Hey, would you do another show?
Oh, absolutely.
Throw my number down and let me know when you do a show and send me a text.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you want to do that?
Yeah. I could take down the number. I'll definitely take down the number. What's your number?
440.
Okay.
669-2938.
Okay. All right. I'll definitely shoot you a text and I'll let you know when I'm doing another show. All right.
Yeah. I'll probably just listen, but I mean, if I listen, because I actually want to listen to your show, not call in for it, but
okay.
I'll listen to your show
next
time.
Yeah, absolutely, man. All right.
Yeah. No, seriously, man. Best of luck to you, Derek. I think you have some fucking talent, man, and I hope you reach for the skies for them, man. Seriously.
Thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate that, Casey.
No,
thank you calling in. Yeah. Thanks for calling in.
No,
and,
seriously, man.
Definitely check out our future shows, all right?
Awesome, man. Stay easy, man.
You got it. Have a good
night. Later. You too.
Bye. Well, that was interesting. That's a lot better than what I would have planned. All right, well, it's overtime. This is just overtime. And I spoke to a big fan in Cleveland, a big Cleveland sports fan, Casey. So maybe he'll be part of the show. Maybe he'll get to listen to our future show. So that's definitely good. It was, considering that this was just a random show, didn't expect to get any phone calls from anybody. But hey, what do you know? Sometimes people are up late and sometimes people are listening. So that's pretty cool. Really not much else that I want to say at this time. I talked about Porzingis and his impact so far and just how positive it's been for the Knicks. Switching gears, you've got a full slate of college football today, this weekend. Obviously, there's a couple of games. Florida against Alabama, the PC title game. I have to think Bama will roll. I shouldn't say roll. I mean, I'm sure Florida could put up a fight. They actually have a good defense, when I remember, because I watched them earlier in the season. But, I mean, Bama should be too strong for them. Derrick Henry, big game, 46 carries. He's going to probably win the Heisman. And you've got couple other games. If you love college football, I like college football, I really do. You got the big one, Carolina against Clemson. Penn versus one. Clemson trying to go unbeaten, and they are ranked first right now. Carolina's won 10 straight games. So that should be interesting. Interesting right there. And the Big Ten championship title game between Michigan State and Iowa. That's a night game also. And you've got a couple of games going. I hate the fact that they're going up against each other. That's the one thing I don't like about college football. How do you have title games where they're going up against each other? Like, All right, so I'm going to go North Carolina, Clemson. I'm going to flip to Michigan State, Iowa. It doesn't give you a chance to stand, to lock in, because they're basically going off at the same time. So one's going off at 8, Carolina and Clemson, and then 8:17, Michigan State and Iowa. But I kind of wish it wasn't set up that way. But that's how it's set up. Stanford, and I love to watch some of the Stanford-USC game because I like Stanford. I like watching Christian McCaffrey. Holcomb's had a tremendous year for them. And USC, they're definitely entertaining to watch. They have a pretty damn good quarterback, too. So you got a full slate of college football. So, and this is pretty much it. The last, and this is it's going to be it until December 31st when you have those national semifinals. And that's going to be pretty fun to watch. Just trying to think, is there anything else that I want to throw out there? No, not really. NFL picks we'll do on tomorrow's show. I'll probably have JPG for that. And will one of our retired broadcasters or co-hosts call in, whether it's Brian or Rob Retirement Davis, will they take part in the show? Or will we actually hear from Nate Sousa, who we haven't heard from in about a month or so? But I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. I didn't get a chance to list that before, so all right. And see you all next time. All right. Thank you to Casey for calling in from Cleveland, and hope one day that you get to see a winner in Cleveland. I really do. All right. Have a good night, everybody. Peace.